Well, good morning. Welcome to the Hill, all of you who are our guests. We just want to say it's so good to have you here. We've got a great crowd over here in this section. It's a little bit densely populated. I know we've got a number that are going to be baptized this morning as soon as I get through with the message. And so we're looking forward to that. Just got a great time. I want us to focus this morning on Psalm 82. Psalm 82, verse 5, one verse. I want to read it from the Living Bible. It says virtually the same thing, whatever your version is, I believe. But we're at the last message in this series of Future Shock, Our Changing World. And what I want to do is I want us to think about this morning, what is happening? What do you do when your foundation shakes? When the foundation of your life shakes, gets unstable. What do you do? Well, because that does happen. Psalm 82, verse 5 says, all the foundations of society are being shaken to the core. Now, you know, I think that could have been chapter and verse for the presidential campaign. You know, we have come through, I don't know if you're like me, I've just kind of relaxed in the midst of everything, and it's like it's been good. To be at the end of that, and I'm very grateful for the outcome. That's me, and I think it's pretty much this whole idea about being shaken to the core. And I think the way that most, if not all of us, have felt in the last several days and weeks and months. The interesting thing is the prophet Isaiah, thousands of years ago, over 2,500 years ago, he warned Israel. And what he said was this. He said, any culture that has been brought up and has been stabilized and has become solid and effective, any culture is headed for collapse when it reverses the values that created the health of that culture to begin with. It is simply said, if you forsake what got you here, you will lose what you've come to. God is going to do that. It's something that the Lord does. It's by His decree. Here's how it literally reads in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. You are doomed if you call evil good and good evil. Destruction is certain when right is considered wrong and what's wrong is considered right. Now, that prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. Every bit of it came true a little over 2,500 years ago, but it did not come without a series of warnings. And that's the thing that's comforting for us. The prophets Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zephaniah were preaching in the marketplaces of Jerusalem. And what they were saying was, over and over again, If we as God's people, if we don't get our act together, if we don't serve the Lord and turn from evil, we're going to lose our freedom. That was their message. Israel did not respond to that. They did not repent. And as a consequence, God lowered the defenses because, you know, we've already learned that God is the one who can protect a country. He can either raise up enemies or He can decimate the enemies of that country. God's in total control of all that. God raises nations up and He puts them down. And what God did was, because they were disobedient, they would not listen to Him, He lowered the defenses of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar came in, He destroyed Jerusalem, and He took 25% of the people as prisoners of war. And he kept them for 70 years. I mean, it was an absolute total disaster. Now, if you've got your life point outline, I want you to notice the first truth. It says, Israel lost her freedom for 70 years because she would not listen to God. And you see, that's the whole issue. And we're in that as a people. Our foundation is shaking. And really the issue is, are we going to listen to God? Or is the builder generation, is the, you know, the present, the future generation, are you going to listen to Him? The way we've done government as a country, basically from our inception, is being shaken. The guarantee of freedom of speech and freedom of religion is being shaken. Remember, I shared with you, and I want you to remember this. The Constitution doesn't say anything about the freedom of worship. I heard that in this presidential election. And I thought, when that was said by one of the candidates, I thought, that is not what the Constitution is about. It is not about freedom of worship. Freedom of worship means I can preach the dictates of my faith inside four walls, but it doesn't say I can do it outside. And that's not what the Constitution says. I have freedom of religion. We had the freedom to live our faith outside these walls. That is what our country is on. Don't let anybody take that away from you, young people. And you've got the power of the ballot box. You've got the power to take people in and take them out who do not uphold the Constitution. And it is being challenged. Marriage is shaking. And as a consequence, because we have redefined marriage, we have not yet seen what's going to come down the pike. But the family unit is in jeopardy. Moral, ethical values are being shaken. Here's what I want you to understand. The only way those who see the shaking of our country as a good thing, they like the way everything is being shaken. They like the shaking of the values of traditional marriage. They like the shaking of the whole idea of not freedom of religion, but freedom of worship. They like that. And you listen, the only way that they can ensure that it continues into the future, now listen, is to indoctrinate at an early age the next generation. And what that means is for you young men and women who are raising your families, you have to keep your eye on the public school system. You have to keep your eye on who is choosing the books, what books are being chosen, why. Because the only way to change the future is to get the kids at an early age and to teach them the way you want them taught. And when you put them in public education, at different places across the country, there are states and cities more and more that are teaching values that shake the core values that made America great. So they're going after the kids, and you need to understand that. Civics classes are mostly unheard of in public education today. Now, I want you to understand why that's important. Because that less and less we're having those civics classes, socialists like Bernie Sanders have a generation of millennials who do not understand the demoralizing effect of socialism on a free enterprise system that has made our country the leading country on this planet. Because of socialism, and not being taught about civics and who we are, they don't understand socialism will destroy economic growth. It will destroy the drive in you and me to be better and to do more. And the reason is because if you are in a socialist state with all of these free programs, somebody's got to pay for that. And the only way they're going to pay for it is to take what you have. And there are socialist countries today that are taking upwards of 65% of what people make in order to pay for all the social programs. And it simply kills initiative. If 65% of what I work and sweat for is taken from me, why try to get ahead? Why not just rock along? It will destroy us from within. That is why I am so grateful, as your shepherd here, I am grateful for godly men and women as well, but men like Trent Ashby from our own fellowship who are in the Texas legislature, men like Kevin Ellis, who ran and won a seat on the State Board of Education. These are men who love Jesus, and they love freedom, and they are godly influencers in strategic places where public policy and young kids, young children, your children and my grandchildren are being trained and taught. And those kind of men and women have to increase. You and I need more followers of Christ committing themselves to public office, getting out there. Because people who don't love Jesus are certainly running for office. And we need to get godly men and women in leadership. And I hope you'll consider doing that. Now, for several weeks, I know I have laid out a disheartening picture of our changing world. I have not seen a lot of smiling faces in these last several weeks. And I totally understand that. I get it. And I want you to know, be encouraged, today is not about doom and gloom. It is about an answer. Because just like our country and its foundations can be shaken at the core, my life and your life can be shaken to the core. All of us at some time or another go through periods where we get shook. And that's why the Word of God is so encouraging to me. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zephaniah, when they were out in the marketplace warning about what was going to happen if Israel didn't repent and turn toward the Lord, there was a young man by the name of Daniel who was listening to those men preach. He is the same young man whose the book is named after him in God's Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Daniel was, at the age of 15, among that first 25% of the Israeli population that was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and taken back to Babylon. And what happened was, Daniel, at age 15, found himself submerged in a core-shaking program. The Babylonians sought to tear out of him everything that he believed and everything that he had been taught that was right and was good and was moral. Now, here's the deal. The book of Daniel recounts that the life of this 15-year-old prisoner of war, by the time of his 85th year, Daniel was the second most powerful man in a heathen government. He rose to this pinnacle all the time without losing his integrity and remaining faithful to God. Is that not encouraging? All the time rising up by the power of God. And here's the truth I want you to see in your outline. God says that no matter how much our culture decays, He wants us not only to survive, but thrive and succeed. Isn't that good news? And God says, even in our culture, it doesn't matter how this culture in America goes. God says, I want you to understand one thing. If you follow me, you can be a Daniel. You can be somebody I can bless and I can raise up in order to be effective for me. And here's the next truth. God often uses pagan leaders to discipline His children. And there may be some of you who are school teachers and you're under somebody who's not a God follower. Maybe you're in a business and the boss over you is not somebody who chases after the Lord. You can be in a whole lot of situations where those over you do not know the Lord. And God says, what I want you to understand, that doesn't keep me from being able to bless you. Here's this 15-year-old. He's never going to see his parents again. He's forced into an educational system that totally counters everything that he has ever been taught is right and godly. And yet this 15-year-old grows into a great man of God. He is second in command in a culture that is hostile to his faith. In his lifetime, he is promoted not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, five times. This young man is promoted. He outlasts three different leaders, two different cultures, all the time without losing his integrity. Is that not absolutely incredible? I mean, God is saying, I can take care of you. I'm the God who is able to do all of this. And so Daniel, this young man who went so far, is a young man who had his life absolutely turned upside down. Everything in his life was just flipped. What do you do? What do you do when your life is shaken to the core? Some of you came in this morning and maybe you've lost a job. Maybe it's a death that has absolutely rattled your cage and it's turned your life upside down. Or a divorce, or a bankruptcy, or 100 other things. Just pick something. You know, all kinds of things can happen to turn our life upside down, or maybe somebody that you know. What do you do when your life is turned upside down? That's what we're about this morning. So I want you to look, number one, in your outline. God says, don't let trouble shock you. Daniel heard the prophets talking about that destruction was going to come if they didn't turn back to God, and he knew that the country wasn't. And so when Babylon came in, it's not like that it was a surprise. It's not like it was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. What God wants you and I to do, God wants us to bring that over to our life. You see, what God is saying to us, shakeups are a normal part of life when you live in a broken world like you and I live in. I am going to have shakeups in my life. You are going to have shakeups in your life. Why? Because we live in a broken world. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be shocked or surprised when you suffer through painful tests and trials. Don't act like something strange is happening to you. You see, God reminds me, when I look at the Word, I am reminded, I am not in heaven yet. This is not heaven. No matter how good Lufkin is and East Texas is, this is not heaven. This is an imperfect world that we are living in. Our world is broken by sin. There's not a relationship in this auditorium this morning or watching on TV. There's not one relationship that is not broken. My marriage deals with two broken people. Catherine and I both are broken. And so are the people in your home. My body is broken. Stuff happens. You know, I wake up some mornings and something's not working or aching or whatever. And you're like, God's against me. No, it's not. You just got a broken body. It's not like God's mad at you. Your body doesn't work right. Our minds are broken by sin. We've got weather that is broken. I talk to my son Joel all the time. I said, son, you realize you have planted my grandkids in Tornado Alley. What's wrong with that picture? Every time they talk about a tornado, Catherine and I get white-knuckled. You know, we want to turn on and we're watching Oklahoma news and weather. I don't normally care. Well, it's not that I don't care, but it's just not on top of my map. But you know, when you talk about tornadoes, hello, this is close to home. And there they are, just, you know, planted there. It is a broken weather system. We have a broken economy. Why would we expect, like we always do, that we're going to have a series of unending perfect days? It's not going to happen. I'm going to have trials in my life. I'm going to have suffering, and I don't need to be surprised. This is what Jesus said in John 16, 33. This is from the Message. In this world, you will experience difficulty. Jesus said that. He didn't say you might. He didn't say you could. He said you will. You're going to have problems. You're going to face adversity. Time will come when you don't know which way is up. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, now be honest, God knows, how many of you in the last 7 days had a situation or issue and you didn't know what to do? You didn't know what to do. Thank you. And the rest of you are not being truthful. It's like, are you kidding me? I should have just had all of you raise your hand. I mean, at one time or another, all of us face that because Jesus said we live in that kind of world. But I want you to listen to what he goes on to say. He said, but take heart, I have conquered the world. I've told you this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable and deeply at peace. Now, I want you to look at the truth in your outline. Adversity is going to be part of my life, but I need to be unshakable. How can I be unshakable no matter what's happening, no matter what's coming down the pike in my life? Jesus said it. He said, I have conquered the world. Do you know what that means? It means that as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a man who is committed to saying yes to him whenever God... Listen, I want to say yes to him. I want to do what he wants me to do. Here's what that means. Christ says, John, all of your trouble, all of your worries, all of your losses have already been conquered by me. He said, I have conquered the world. It's done. And what that means is, everything as a follower of Christ, everything that comes to me is either permitted or is part of God's plan for me because he has conquered everything. And he says, if you will let me, I will work everything that happens in your life, work to your good. Now listen, that doesn't happen with everybody. For we know that all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. If you're not following Him, everything doesn't work for your good. But when you are with Him, everything works for your good. Now, the first thing we want to do when we have a problem is we want to nail somebody else. Well, it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't have been for him, if it hadn't have been for her, if it hadn't have been for them, listen, and whenever you are always trying to fix the blame, you'll never fix the problem. You never fix the problem. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But quit trying to fix the blame. Because when I fix the blame, I'm in this because of him. I'm in this because of her. I'm in this because of my wife. I'm in this because of my husband. When you do that, all you do is give life to the problem and it perpetuates it. It'll never get settled until you ask the right question. And that is, it's not about fixing blame. It is about, God, what do I need to do because of what I'm going through? What is it that you want? Now, there are four sources of all the trouble in your life. This is from the Word. Four sources of the trouble in your life. Number one, it's you and me. I am my greatest problem. I would like to say it's Catherine, but it's not. It's me. I am my own worst enemy. I shoot myself in my foot. Thank you very much. You don't have to worry about it. I'll do it eventually. Just give me time. I'll do it. It's going to happen. I cause myself more pain and heartache than anybody else on this planet. And that's why Romans chapter 7 is something to read all the time. You just go back and you read Romans chapter 7, and it says that we're where we are because of indwelling sin, that when we would do good, evil is present with us. And so it's this sinful nature that we have. That's the source of our first source. The second source is the world. The world around me makes my life difficult and brings trouble into my life. And here's the reason why. Because the world wants you to do everything its way. And the world has a power to make you conform. And the power of the world is ridicule and withholding approval. And those are powerful. Powerful. None of us want to be ridiculed. None of us want to be made fun of. None of us want to be, ostracized out of everything. That's the power of the world. That's why God says in Scripture, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. God says, I'm the source of your protection. I am the source of your supply. I am the source of giving you wisdom. It's not the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But here's the truth in your outline. People lower their standards every day to gain the approval of the world. And we don't need it. But it is powerful. And they do it by refusing approval and by ridiculing us. And then the third source of trouble is Satan. I mean, it is evil incarnate, evil personified. From the moment you and I put our feet on the floor every morning, Satan, if you're a follower of Christ, he is working to discourage you. He is working to defeat you. He is working to create doubts in you about God loving you and caring for you. He is working to depress you. And the truth in your outline, Satan hates you and he has a bad plan for your life. And he wants you to follow him. He wants you to listen. And it will absolutely destroy you if you do. And the fourth surprising source of trouble in your life is God. God. Wow. There are a number of my problems that don't come from me. They don't come from the world. And they don't come from Satan. They come from God. God. Here's the truth in your outline. God often shakes up our lives to do us good. Because he's wanting to do good. Now, what's got your life shaken up? Maybe you've lost a job. You can't get married. You say, you're talking about all the problems in marriage? I'd like to have one. Just let me have one of those. But I can't. It's like I can't get to the altar. I can't find that person. and you want to get married and you can't. Or maybe this dream keeps vaporizing, or you've got physical issues or relational storms. Everything that's happening, God wants to use it for your good. Because God says it's really not an issue of where is it coming from. He simply says, if you belong to me, I will work everything to your good. I want to do that. So, number two, what's God's possible plan for our pain? Well, two things, and I'm done. God shakes things up to inspect me. God brings problems in my life, allows problems, either sends it or permits it, to really do two things. God is either wanting, now watch, he's either wanting to reveal a character flaw in me. You see, there are character flaws in every one of us. Some of us have the character flaw that whenever things get difficult, whenever a marriage gets hard, whenever a job gets difficult or whatever, whenever a relationship with the opposite sex gets, you know, a little bit, we bail. We just bail. We run. And we're maybe changing jobs, or we're moving, or we're going from one relationship to the other, or we've got a character flaw of lying, or we've got a character flaw of sexual immorality. And so when God allows problems, when he directs problems into my life, oftentimes he's trying to deal with a character flaw that he's saying, you're not dealing with it, I'm going to force the issue. Or it's a habit, I worry a lot, or I fear just overwhelms me, or I'm habitually angry. And so God allows me to get into situations that are going to force me to deal with that. And the truth in your outline, God will use problems to inspect and show me what is wrong in my life. Now, like I said, it's either because I won't work on it, or I haven't worked on it, but God's determined I'm going to work on it. And that's what he's doing. Somebody has well said, I wish I'd thought of this. They said, people are like tea bags. You never know what's inside until you drop them in hot water. And when we get in a difficult time, the real us comes out, doesn't it? You know, the real me comes out. The real me comes out when life's a challenge, when I feel pressured, when things are not working the way that I want them to. That's when the real me comes out. And God does that. He does that to inspect me. Because he said there's a character flaw here in your life that needs to be dealt with. Jeremiah 17 and 10. The Lord searches our heart and he examines our deepest motives so he can give to each of us the right reward according to how we have lived. God inspects us because God is interested in seeing if we really believe what we say we believe. And so God's going to put you in a situation from time to time to see if you will lower your standards in order to be accepted or in order to be popular. Happens to kids all the time when they go off to school. You see, when you go off to college, you are in that world atmosphere, and it is going to seek to control you by either withholding or giving approval, or by ridiculing or not ridiculing you. And why does God permit that? Because God is wanting to know, do you really believe what you say? And will you hold to it? Or will you lower your standard when things get hard? God is interested more in my integrity than he is interested in my image. And what I mean by that is, what is integrity? Integrity is what I am when I'm in the dark. And I don't mean just like when the lights are turned off, although that's part of it. Am I who I say I am when you are not around? Am I who I say I am when nobody sees what I'm doing? Am I a man of integrity? Am I the same on Sunday as I am on Monday? Are you the same man that you show yourself to be on Sunday when you're at the hunting lease? Are you the same man that you say you are on Sunday when you're on the job? Are you this person you say you are when you're in Vegas? Which I don't know why a lot of us want to go to Vegas, but maybe. You know what stays in Vegas? What? Oh, come on, you know what they say. Yeah, it stays in Vegas. Does it need to? Does it need to stay? Shouldn't. What'd you do in Vegas? I'll tell you. Won't hold back a thing. I don't have to worry about something coming to light. You see, that's what God is interested in. And that's, look at the truth in your outline. God will inspect you till you are in the dark what you profess to be in the light. He is all about that. He said, I want you to be the same person all the time. I am on the golf course. I am at work. I am in Vegas. I am when I'm out of town. I am when I'm on the hunting lease. I am the guy. I am the girl. You see me this morning. I never change. I'm always the same. No matter who I'm with, no matter where I go, I am me. That's what God is interested in. And number two, God shakes things up to correct me. He not only expects me, he corrects me. After Israel went into captivity in Babylon for 70 years as a nation, they never went into idolatry again, ever. Now pay attention to me. The baptismal candidates are going. That's fine. Watch me, children. Listen, Israel has never been idolatrous since that time, ever. They are a one God nation. There are no other gods there that they follow or serve. Hebrews 12 and 8, God corrects all of his children, and if he doesn't correct you, you don't really belong to him. God corrects us for our own good because he wants us to be holy as he is. It's never fun to be corrected. In fact, at the time, it's always painful. But if you learn to obey by being corrected, we will do right and we will live at peace. Here's the truth. The only time we change is when our fear of change is exceeded by our pain. That is the reason why God puts us through so many difficult times. Why? Because when I am more fearful of him than I am of the fear of change, that's when I become a different man. That's when I'll change my habits. That's when I'll become a different man. And God, listen, Do not get in the way of God bringing pain in somebody's life if that's what he's doing. Because pain is the only thing that'll bring about real change. It's the only thing. And so lastly, trust God when it's dark. Now I want to close with this. Here it is. Trust God when it's dark. You're going to go through times and you're going to realize, this is not about inspecting me. It's not about correcting me. It's not about that. So why is it? And you won't know. You won't know. Isaiah 50, listen, if you're in a period of darkness and you don't understand what's going on in your life, Isaiah 50 verse 10 is your verse. Isaiah 50 verse 10, listen. Who among you fears the Lord? You're born again, you belong to him. Who among you fears the Lord, walks in darkness, and has no light? Trust in the Lord and rely upon your God. There are going to be times there's no explanation for what you're going through. But you just know that you're not supposed to run. You just know that you can't change it, but you don't understand why it's there. God is saying, I want to know, do you love me even when life doesn't make sense? It's a test. It's a test. And God does that not because he hates you, but because he is seeking to grow you and make you into a godly man and woman. I want you to bow your heads, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to offer you an opportunity. This morning, you've been thinking either about yourself or maybe somebody that's in your frame of reference. Maybe there's a husband and a wife. Maybe there's a young person. Maybe there's a friend. There's somebody who their life is being turned upside down. And this morning, maybe that person is you. And maybe this morning, in coming forward, you're going to be praying for yourself. And you're going to be praying to say, Lord, I just want to surrender to you. And I want you to change what needs to change in my life. And the answer is yes. But maybe you're coming this morning because you want to hold up a friend, a loved one, somebody that is going through a hard time, and you're just believing, you know, God's at the bottom of all of this. And I just want to pray for them that they will say yes to Him and yield to Him. I want us to stand to our feet quietly and reverently, and I want you to come quickly if that is for you or if for somebody, and you just stand here at the front. We're going to pray.